You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Mike D, what is up?
I'm back.
Happy weekend. You are back. How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm having some coffee right now, getting extra pep for this.
You know, you mentioned when you're coming in, you're like, let me get all my drinks. I am so curious how many drinks people have. You have how many?
I have my Yeti of coffee, just straight black coffee, nothing in it. And then I have my Hydro Flask of like 32 ounces of water.
Yeah, I mean, that's even just two is a lot to carry.
Yeah, I always have to have the two every day of the show.
Every day, man. I mean, I'm glad that you're just getting them back home. I feel like that's how the lost bottles, you know, when you go places, you see lost bottles.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's how that always happens.
That is why I invested in the Hydro Flask, because it is an stupidly expensive water bottle. And I've only lost it once, but I found it.
Did you go back and get it?
I left it at Bobby's home studio. And then the next day I came back and it was gone. So I got mixed in with his water bottles and eventually I found mine. But it was like 2 weeks. I was like, where's my freaking water bottle?
It is the worst when you have an expensive one, because I've left my Stanley at Planet Fitness a few times, and that you see me like running back and I'm like, dang it. And it's like a forget after. Only one time did I get all the way home and had to come back.
It's an investment, and it makes you, one, like, not forget it, but also like drink more water. Like, I spent freaking $40 on a water bottle. I'm going to drink water and use it.
You're right. That's why we buy them. It's like, because then it makes us drink water, but I don't think I actually drink more water.
The other day on TikTok, I saw this girl who had like a wall full of Stanleys.
Oh my gosh.
It was like 30 or 40 Stanleys. I'm like, I think you're missing the point of a reusable water bottle. You spent like thousands of dollars on Stanleys.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how many is too much. Maybe that. Like, maybe five is okay.
I'd say, yeah, five is like a max. Like, hey, you like this color, you like that color. After that, it's like insane.
Yeah, where do you even store that? I don't even have a place to store my stuff. Like, the cabinets don't even work for them.
This girl literally installed walls, or like little shelves on her wall to hold them all.
Wow. You know, we as humans just loved our little obsessions with different things.
Hey, if it makes you happy and you have the money for it,
exactly. It makes us all human. Well, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. So coming in at the number seven spot, Eddie and Amy both had some dental updates. Like, what is going on with the Bobby Bone Show teeth? Like, this is a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you how your stuff is going.
It's going really well. I just, my last orthodontist appointment, they're like, you're getting near the end. I think I'm on my last 6 months of having braces.
Well, that's good.
Which is like the most strenuous 6 months, because they're like really trying to get like the last straightening out. They're like tightening them up and all these things. So I go about every 5 or 6 weeks right now. And there's only like 1 week out of that where like my mouth doesn't hurt.
That's brutal.
And like, I know earlier on the show this week, Amy's been struggling with like the retainer she has to wear.
Yep.
I've had to struggle with that the entire time because they keep adding things onto my mouth and making it harder and harder for me to speak. So I've become really good at like over enunciating. But sometimes I get that, what Amy has of like that,
it's the little lisp.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I literally not only have braces, but I have like these little risers underneath like two of my teeth on either side. So if I just speak without intention, I'm speaking like that.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Isn't it crazy how your like your tongue has to adjust to whatever's happening? Because when I had Invisalign, I don't know if you remember, but the first few months were rough.
It's hard to get used to get adjusted to it.
Oh, yeah. And like if you're taking them out and putting them back in, it kind of defeats the purpose of what you're doing. Yours, you can't take out, put back in. They're there.
Yeah, it's stuck there.
Like, and your mouth just doesn't know what to do with that. And it's crazy just how much you know, you can't adjust as quickly as you think you would. You know, it's funny. I will tell you, I had this moment with braces when I got mine off. Mm-hmm. And my hairstylist was like, wait, what? What happened? So when I got my braces off after like 6 years of having them, I literally cried in the car. And I said, oh my God, my teeth look horrible. I hate my teeth. Like, I had gotten so used to having braces on that the idea of them having off made it look worse. I was comparing them to like my bang situation, because now every time I put my bangs up, I'm like, crap, where's my bangs? This looks bad. I don't like it. Like, it's just these little subtle changes that happen, and it makes you have this weird moment of like your eyes don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
Are you worried about that happening to
I've
you?
Had that exact same worry, and I can tell you why. It's because as my teeth have straightened and I look in the mirror and I see like, whoa, they're actually straight now, I worry just about my teeth underneath. Just like you said, like, I don't know if they even look that great. Like, they'll be straight, but I've just had messed up teeth my entire life that I worry that if I don't have the braces kind of guarding me, people will now just judge me on my teeth. Like, now I feel like I have the braces and I almost have this shield of like, if people think I don't have great teeth, they're like, well, at least he's working on them. If I get those braces taken away, I'm going to be like, it's just on display and those are just my teeth now. And then not only after having the braces taken off, but I'm going to have some other dental work because I have like some gaps in my teeth because they took teeth out to give them room to straighten out. So it's this whole other process of like, man, are my teeth even ever going to get to a point where I feel completely comfortable?
Yeah. And it is going to be hard. And you're going to face a lot of that, like, oh, do I even like this? Like, literally, when I sat in the car after getting them off, I was like, put them back on. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't care that their braces, just put them back on, because I felt, I mean, it was maybe like 24 hours before I was like, okay, my eyes are adjusting to what my teeth look like now.
Yeah.
It was like my eyes were messing with me is what it felt like. So the perception of your eyes rather than actually what they look like to everybody else.
Yeah. And you had them on for 6 years.
Yeah. It was rough.
Yeah.
I mean, and I had the gap problems too. Like, I had a gap in my tooth that they pulled and that I had to go back in and everything had to move. So like, I know what you're feeling and it sucks.
Yeah.
But like, I also feel for you now because you're like, I just want to like be an adult. I just want to like do my stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Like, why am I doing this right now?
Yeah. I think after it's all said and done, I'll probably be like seven and a half years that I've had them on. So the one thing I am looking forward to is people will stop asking me online, when are you getting them off?
I know, right? And that's why I was like, it was in the questions. But I was like, I'm not going to put it in the questions. But, you know,
it's literally the top question I get all the time.
And it's funny because I think it's because some people hear your update and then other people don't. And so, like, it's like you're constantly having to give the update.
Which is the nature of this.
Yeah, you're like, okay, let's just take them off and let's be done with it. But I am excited for you. Last appointment. That's big.
Yeah.
So hopefully you don't have to keep answering this question for much longer.
Yeah. And then I'll be like, when are you getting the teeth out? Okay.
You're like, just let me live my life. I know. As soon as I said the dental, I was like, do I dive into this? Well, it is teeth week, apparently, on Bobby Bone Show. So I had to bring it up. But we did also have a hair situation happen with Scuba Steve. Him and Eddie had a bet going on, and not so much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave that there. But speaking of hair, I want to know the last dumb advertisement that you fell for. Because, and the reason I say speaking of hair is because I found this advertisement on TikTok of this little pet hair roller that I could get, and it's like magical. It's only $8. I was like, sweet, $8. If this works, this is going to be amazing. I brought it in, and you can't even use it on half the fabrics that you own. Like, it has these little teeny tiny jagged edges. So, like, if you own all really smooth fabric, you'll probably be fine. But, like, I own multiple fabrics.
Yeah.
So I got bombarded, like bamboozled is the word I'm looking for. I got bamboozled seeing that because I was like, yeah, sure, it worked magically for one fabric, but for 50 others, it doesn't. And so then I had to go to the effort of sending back something that was $8.
Oh, dude.
And I was mad at myself for falling for that dumb advertisement. So have you fallen for one recently and you're like, no, not my best?
I have in the past, but now I look up every review and the thing about TikTok, like a lot of things get pitched to me on TikTok because there's a whole TikTok shop now.
Okay, the TikTok shop is annoying.
And it's so annoying. But sometimes they get me. And one recently was one that like it's supposed to revitalize like old looking parts in your car like that have worn down over time. And in the video, it shows like this worn down piece of plastic. And then they take this little thing, wipe it over, and it becomes like totally brand new. Like you just bought it.
Like magic.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, that thing really works. But immediately after that, I saw one disproving that it doesn't work. So now if I ever I see something cool on TikTok and I think I got to buy that, I look at the actual review of somebody testing it out. So I feel like I haven't been burned in a while because of that.
See, that's good. But also, I feel like they pay people to review them.
Oh, they do for sure.
And like, how do you find what's real and what's fake?
The first one you see is probably going to be fake, the paid one. Like, hey, look at this awesome thing. And you see it. And the thing that makes it go so viral is because it's crazy and it looks awesome. And then if you actually look at the product broken down by somebody who actually bought it and is not paid to use it, that's the real review.
You know, it is. And it's stupid because I feel like I don't even know what that is called, that they keep just throwing consumerism. Is that the word? Where they just keep like throwing stuff in our face to be like, buy this, buy that.
It's a lot of advertising.
It is blowing my mind. I feel like I am in Ready Player One. You know how they were talking about putting all the advertisements in the viewpoint? I feel like that's what my life is like.
There's going to be advertisements everywhere. You look up, I mean, there already is advertisements in the sky. You look up, hey, there's an ad.
It is. Like, they fly in the sky. They're on the billboards. They're now all over your phone. And this, you know what? At least this was only $8. Okay?
Like, that's not too bad.
At least I didn't pay like $500 for something that was going to be terrible. But I wish there was a button I could hit on TikTok to be like, don't show me shop messages. I don't need any of this stuff.
Yeah, ever since they added that, I found myself liking TikTok less.
Same. I don't get on as much.
It's so many ads and so many just products that I feel like every fourth or fifth video is a TikTok shop, and I immediately scroll past it.
And you know, I appreciate Instagram because if you're going through stories, at least the advertisements are clear advertisements and it's from the company.
It's a little more relevant to you.
Yeah, it's like, it's really geared toward what you're looking at.
The accounts you follow have something going on. Like, okay, that makes sense.
Yes, but if it's not, like on TikTok, I feel like it's just all these random things that I have never needed in my life. That's what makes me mad. I'm like, at least I can like... Instagram feels a little bit more legit advertising to me.
And TikTok feels more like the old as seen on TV ads.
Yes.
Or just some random product solving some issue you didn't know you had.
Oh, yeah. So that's been a struggle for me lately, is that. Don't ask me why. Maybe I just need to stay off TikTok altogether.
Yeah. Oh, I can burn some time on TikTok, though.
I used to. Like, the TikTok shop really has gotten to me. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I don't need to spend this money.
Aside from the ads, what does your TikTok feed you? Like, the top three things?
Oh, it's all dogs.
Really?
It's all animal videos. Like, I get animal videos and sometimes some, like, life advice things. Those are, like, the two that it really is. I'll get a random, like, trend thrown in there besides all the freaking TikTok shop. But really, it's animals and, like, life advice.
Interesting.
What's yours?
I get a lot of movie content of just people talking about movies. I get a lot of Post Malone. And then I also get a lot of orca videos.
Orca?
Yeah, anything out in the ocean, they show me. Oh, the videos I love the best are like somebody out like on a kayak or a little boat, and then like a whale comes out of nowhere. I love those videos.
I do. See, I do love the, I just love anything animal related because I also feel like people have, like the animal photographers, like wildlife photographers or videographers are just so stupid talented. Like there's some that will shoot things on a safari and I'm like, oh my God, that looks magical.
Yeah,
like,
I feel
like I'm watching National Geographic on TikTok. Those are the ones I like.
Oh, I love watching those shows. That's like, not like a guilty pleasure show, but that's something if I just need to like zone out and watch something peaceful, I'll go watch one of those either documentaries or something like that.
Don't they make you like really want to go see those places?
I feel like I go there if they're done really well. I feel like I've been there.
I was going to say, because I feel like as soon as I see them, I'm like, I need to find a way to go to this place. Especially like... I want to say, like, the number one thing I want to do is go on an African safari. And when I see all of those, like, wild, I just love animals and they're wild. And that is, like, my favorite thing to witness. And every time I see those, I'm like, dang, how cool would it be to see elephants and cheetahs and monkeys? And you're just, like, chilling there and they're just hanging out. Like, that would be amazing.
Mine is that, but with, like, a orca whale watching that I've been wanting to do forever. And I watch every single orca documentary. The other day, I thought there was a new one. I was like, oh, I'm going to watch it. And I'd already seen it.
That is when you know you've definitely watched everything. That's totally fair. Okay. Well, we got some interesting feeds going on. At least we have good feeds versus Eddie's like dancing feed.
Yeah, I don't get any of those. I've also never seen like the big TikTok stars. I've never had them fed to me.
No, I haven't either. Maybe one of them because of the life advice thing that falls in, but really none of them.
But yeah, any of like the biggest stars that come from TikTok, like I know of them, but I've never seen a single video fed to me. It's weird.
Yeah, dude, the algorithm stuff is weird. Also, the algorithm on Instagram has gotten really bad.
Yeah, I don't know like, what's happening there.
No, Instagram has gotten really bad. This is just stuff, if you're on social media, you've probably experienced like just as a user, but it's just social media is in a very weird place right now. From somebody who is literally a digital director, it is in a very weird place.
I agree.
So we will come back from our weird place here in a second. We got some more things to talk about.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
A fun little bet happened this week. Bobby and Eddie tried to name 90s country songs in 5 minutes, 90 of them.
Yeah, I don't think, yeah.
I think they really thought that this was going to be easy.
And I thought it was going to be easy for them.
But in 5 minutes? Like, I think it's always funny when we look at like a time frame, right? Because time is so relative and you're mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, that's nothing. But like time does move very quickly.
Especially in a game.
Yeah. Like, just like when you answer something in easy trivia, you think you have all the time in the world, and like soon enough, it's like, oh, the buzzer hits you, and you're like, where did that time just go?
Yeah.
So that is hard, but that went down this week. I have some kind of random fun questions.
Okay.
We're going to talk about. If you could vacation anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Probably Japan.
Oh, okay.
I've always wanted to go to Japan. They're so far ahead of us on the technology side, and it looks like going into the future. I've always wanted to go there. And they have like cool like amusement parks that we don't have. Like the Nintendo World in Japan is amazing.
Isn't there now a kind of a Nintendo World in California?
Yeah, but it's like, it's not as big. It's not as interactive. But it does look really cool. I do want to go.
But you want to go to Japan.
I want to go to the real one.
Do you also, I feel like Japan also has some really cool scenery and stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
Do you want to see all that?
Yeah, you not only have the city that looks amazing and it's giant, but also outside of the city, it's just beautiful.
Is there a specific city that you really want to go to?
Probably Tokyo and Kyoto.
Because Tokyo is their
capital,
right? Okay. I was like, should I say that out loud? And what was the second one that you said?
Kyoto. Which is more out in the beautiful nature.
Okay.
And I wanted to go since I was a kid. I've just been fascinated with their culture for so long.
Well, have you looked into like how bad that travel is? Like how to get over there?
Yeah, I had a friend go last summer and it looked awesome. You can literally like ride go-karts in the city downtown.
Oh, that's
like
epic.
Like you're in Mario Kart.
Okay, that's awesome.
So there's so many cool things you can do. And after talking to her and her trip, like I always thought it'd be like hard to go. And once you got there, it would be hard to navigate. But apparently they're pretty good at like helping tourism, so I won't feel completely lost, which is hard because I don't know any kind of Japanese.
And I assume too you've maybe fly out of LA.
I think so, yeah.
That would be the kind of closest to it.
Yeah, I haven't looked fully into how long it takes to get there, but it seems like it's pretty far away.
Oh, at least over a day of travel,
yeah,
right? Just to get there.
Easily.
Oh wow. Yeah, that would be really cool. Now I'm picturing like go-kart in Tokyo.
I want to do that at night.
That sounds
what
amazing.
What about you?
It's definitely the African safari that stays up there on the list. That or it was always on my list when I was in college because one of my minors was French. And so one of my professors had told me that in order to really test your language and see if you're actually good at it was to go to Brussels or Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're, I guess, pretty good at like being like, no, you have to use it. You got to use your language here, not English. And so I'd always like wanted to test that. But like now my French is gone. I have none of it. So I can't really like put it to the test anymore. But I do still want to go because Belgium is like the chocolate place. Mm-hmm. And I love chocolate. But besides that, I think it'd be the African safari.
That is true about the languages. I felt that going to Mexico, like if you can't speak Spanish there, especially me, because I'm Mexican, like, dude, you can't speak Spanish. They're going to really look down on you.
Oh, and I do have a follow-up Spanish, but I'm going to save it for the questions, listener Q&A, because Omar from North Carolina really wanted to know this. So
okay.
I'll save it for that part. But yes, great, great point. You're leading us as a tease for listener Q&A.
There you go.
You didn't even mean to. What is your go-to board game to play?
Ooh, gosh. There's so many good ones. I feel like I always lean towards Scrabble, though. That is
Scrabble, okay.
That is like me and my wife's game.
Like, do you guys play it like often?
We did, especially early on in our relationship. One of our first dates was going to Target, buying Scrabble, and playing. We both love Scrabble.
Is Scrabble the one with the board, and you're putting together the words,
mm-hmm.
right?
So it's like Words with Friends, but
in real life.
In real life.
Okay, that's a good one. I think if I had to like only choose one, it'd be Monopoly.
That was it's a good one. It's the classic.
And it lasts so long.
Yeah.
And like, but nobody will ever play it with me. So like, I can't really say it's my go-to because nobody will ever play it. But have you ever played Monopoly Deal?
No.
Okay, so it's the card version of Monopoly and it only takes like 20 minutes.
Oh, I've seen it, but I've never played it.
It's so much fun. We had like a stint there, my family and I, where we play every time we saw each other, we would play for hours this game. And because you can just keep going and it's like you get the taste and nostalgia of Monopoly, but in a card game and it's really quick. So, and you can play, I think it's like 3 to 5 players. But if it's like a lot of us, Blank Slate is always a choice. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, I'm a Hughes and Q's guy.
Okay, Hughes and Q's is fun.
It's like really addictive too.
Yes. We also played Vin, I think was the other one from ours. That at first we were all like super confused. And then as soon as we all figured it out, it was like game on. It got super competitive with the little memes and stuff. And everybody was getting mad at each other. And nobody understood each other's wavelength. Much like what everybody heard of our Blank Slate tournament. That's how like all our friends get with each other.
Yeah.
It's very competitive. Okay, great board games there. What are two things that you still have on your bucket list? Do you have a bucket list?
I don't really have a bucket list.
Is there a reason or are you just, nah?
I guess I don't want to think about dying.
Okay. That just reminded me of the quote from the Barbie movie. What do they say? Do you ever think about dying?
Just out of nowhere.
Okay, so no bucket list.
No, I guess there are things I want to do as far as like career goals, but I don't know that I would classify them as a bucket list.
Well, we can add them to your bucket list.
Because like I want to create some piece of like longstanding art because we are in the business of content. We do a radio show. We do podcasts. We do all these things that I feel like don't really have the longest shelf life. We just crank out episodes. We crank out interviews. But in my life, I want to create something that'll last. I don't know if it's a film, if it's like an art piece, if it's a comic book or some kind of animation that I do. But I want to create a piece of art that's not just content, which is hard to do now because I feel like in any creative thing right now, even musicians, you just got to keep cranking out things that I feel like the art process has been taken out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen artists post about struggling of the demand from their labels to post on TikTok, to keep having some piece of content you're putting out there that they feel kind of like in this box of like, I got in this business to make art and things that I'm proud of, but I keep having to churn it out so often to keep up with being relevant that we've gotten away from that of making something that we're really proud of, I think, and last and stand the test of time and something that people will continue to bring back up years from now. So I think for me, looking at what we do, which I love doing, but I also want to do something that was the reason I got started in this, of creating something that could be around forever.
So if you could choose what that piece of art would be, do you have a preference or are you just kind of open to what that might look like?
I want to write a movie, which is hard to do because I don't, like initially when I first like fell in love with film, I wanted to be a director. But looking at how hard that process is, it becomes less appealing to me. Like, it sounds really sexy to be a director, but I don't really think that my skill set has all the qualities to do that. And what I've become more interested in is the writing process of that you could write an entire story and just sell it to somebody and they make the movie. I feel like for me, that would be more fulfilling to be able to have like my vision and somebody take that and bring it to life. So I think my ultimate thing would be to write a movie.
Well, you could always also be the writer and director.
That's true.
That is a possibility, too.
Yeah, that's even harder.
It is harder. But if you're like, because I think the reason some of them end up doing it is because they want their movie to be in the direction that they wrote it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if you have a different writer, different producer, different director, then that's three different visions of what something could look like. And so sometimes you, I feel like more often recently, we're starting to see people be both a writer and the director because they want it to be what they want, or at least part director, part writer. They have an input on it. So you could always still do both, or you could start as a writer and then maybe your second one, your writer director.
Yeah, down the line.
you're like Morgan, I'm trying to get one. But that's a good goal to have, and I feel like that's something that you can work on continuously as you chase other dreams too.
Yeah, like I have a note like in my phone of just all these ideas. Anytime I have any kind of movie idea, I'll write a title and I'll write like a three little blurb about what it could be. So I literally have all these ideas that I'm kind of waiting for the one that I think I could actually like fully flesh out and make an entire script.
Yeah, and that's hard too, because like an idea is just like a few lines.
Yeah.
And trying to create an entire hour and a half, 2 hour movie out of that. Like, I don't think we understand when we watch a movie how much goes into creating that entire script.
Yeah, it's a lot. I literally look and study script just to read them. I'm like, oh, that's a lot of pages. That's a lot. Because you have to put every single thing in there. It all has to be on the page in order for it to come onto the screen. Like, mm-hmm. Literally everything.
Yeah, like even emotion, the things that are happening in the scene. You're setting the scenes. The
gestures, lighting, everything mm-hmm. has to be in the script.
Oh, well, that's exciting. I think that's a great thing to have on your not so bucket list.
Yeah, just my list of things to do.
Yes. Okay. Well, here, I will tell you, I do have a bucket list. And I don't think it's as much as like I want to do it before I die. It's just something that I hope happens in my mm-hmm. life, if that makes sense. Because I try not to think about dying. That would not be good.
I feel like I need 20 years to have like a real bucket list.
Well, I do have some. So like I have this list, and I have bucket list in the US mm-hmm. and I have bucket list in the world. Two very different things. And I think I just call it bucket list because like that's what we call those when you put together a list like that. And some of the ones in the US are go skydiving. Okay. I do want to do that, but I want to do it at a really cool place. Like I want to see cool things.
Can you do that?
What do you mean?
Like I just know of people going out in a field. Can you do it like a...
Well, have you not seen people like skydive over Dubai?
No,
or like
I really
Hawaii.
I haven't. No.
Yeah, they do. Like, they skydive over. Kind of like at least you're seeing the scenery of mountains and stuff. Like, I don't want to skydive and see a field. If you're gonna put me up and push me out of a plane, I want to see some cool things.
I wonder how much you can actually take in, though, because I feel like it happens so fast and you're like focused on the emotion of it. You think you'd get like a chance to enjoy the scenery?
I hope so. I mean, this has been the whole reason I've never gone before is because I'm like, I want to do it in a cool place.
You do it
and
your eyes are closed the whole time.
That is possible. I might be screaming, crying, throwing up. So you might be right, Mike.
How do you do with heights?
I don't mind heights. Heights is not my problem. It's the stomach drop that's the problem for me.
That's like a full stomach drop.
Well, so I actually talked to somebody and they said because of the way that gravity hits you, you don't actually, besides like a split second, experience the stomach drop.
Because you don't drop as fast as you would like in a roller coaster.
Yes, but I've had people go and they're like, that's totally not true. That was a skydive instructor that told me that. Versus, so I don't know what to believe. But if it's only 5 minutes and I'm like, get like it's on the list, mm-hmm. maybe it's something I do like right before I die. Like, you know, I'm going to go out. Like, you know how like, that like 104-year-old woman went?
Yeah.
That would be like the time that I go. Like, okay, well, it's going out strong one way or another. I want to go to a concert at Red Rocks in Colorado. Mm.
I have that one on my list.
Do you?
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like it'd be so cool to see something there. I don't even know that I care who it is. Do you have a preference of who you want to see?
No, I just want to go.
Right?
It like, just looks awesome.
Exactly. The other one is like go to every state in the United States, which I've been working on. I think I've got like 11 or 12 left. Pretty solid.
Ooh, I really want to go to Alaska. I'll add that to my list.
You could also, when you go to Alaska, see whales.
That is part of it.
Yeah, those are two in there. I want to go to like Kentucky Derby. I want to go to Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Like, those are some of them. And then sand dunes. Go ride ATVs in sand dunes. Mm. They're like random things. It's not like, like if I died tomorrow and these things didn't happen, it's okay. But it's more like this would be really cool to accomplish in my life. If I'm trying to plan trips, I can use it as a reference. But one of these may not happen. And that's, I want to go for my like bucket list world one is that I want to go scuba diving at the Great Barrier Reef.
Mm.
And that is dying. So I don't know if I'm going to make it over there in time. That one I'm more worried about it dying than me dying.
And the book a trip right now.
Yeah, like I'm going to have to go right now. So and there's more on there, but like that's kind of like my fun. I use that when I'm planning trips to be like, okay, is there anything on here that I want to do right now? And sometimes I'm not in the mood for it. I don't want to like, that's not the vibe. But other times I'm like, ooh, this could be what I'm doing right now. You know?
Yeah, I can see that.
So I don't know if that's necessarily a bucket list. It's more as just like a list of things. Okay, those are my random questions for today.
I like them.
You liked them. Okay, good. We have more to talk about, including your thoughts on Postie. So you ready? You ready to dive
in about
Postie? Okay, so the reason we're bringing this up, Captain Cringe, a.k.a. Lunchbox, did some interviews for the pre-CMA Awards. That's what's coming in at the number four spot. But I had Colleen Kelly. Chris, Melissa, just to name a few, who hit me up in the questions being like, I need Mike D's thoughts on Postie at the CMA. So it's all yours.
I loved his performance. And I have this weird feeling of, I have like this sense of ownership over him. And I know it's me being like overprotective and like an old school fan, but I feel like he's been country his entire time. And I feel like it's been embedded in his music since his first album. He's done what I would argue are as country as anything out right now. Even the last album he put out earlier this summer, if Morgan Wallen or Hardy put that out, it would be considered a country record. So it's weird for me to see people welcoming him to country music like it's something foreign to him. Because other artists have done that. They come over and they do country and it's like a gimmicky thing. I don't feel like it's him. That's not his deal. So I kind of have like this weird thing of like, not I'm upset, but I feel protective over him now that everybody else is showing him this attention of like, come over to country, because it's been there the entire time. And I've been telling people about his music since he came out back in the day. So I feel like now that he's moving over to country and doing a proper country release, probably, that it's kind of weird for me because we work in country music. I love Post Malone. You think them coming together, I'd be like, yes, this is amazing. I almost don't love it as much now at this point that it's like an official thing.
Mm-hmm.
I rather it would have been him just dancing around with it, doing collabs here and there, but I don't want him to do a country record.
No, you don't want him to do a full one.
Like a full one? I don't really know. I'm not that interested to hear that.
Well, I did also see you had posted something that he has done, like kind of bounced in other genres too.
Yeah, I mean, he started out, people just called him a rapper, hip hop artist. But every album has evolved so much, and he's shown different sides of every genre he can do. One has been more focused, just straight up hip hop. One has been like a straight up, almost a rock record. And then one was more pop leaning. And I would argue the latest one, like I said, is more like a country record, because he wrote that entire album like acoustically. It wasn't even going to be an album. He was just in a studio writing a bunch of these songs. And then he decided, well, let's make this a full record and put all the other music around it. But it started out just him and a guitar and evolved into what it is now. So I feel like that's how a lot of country records start out. So as far as hearing a full-on country album from him, and then if he just comes on into songs with Hardy and Morgan Wallen, like, I don't really want to hear that.
Yeah, and that's fair. I think it's one of those situations, too, when there are, say, somebody gets really popular, and mm-hmm. you've been a fan of them for a really long time.
You get protective.
And you're like, where were all of you guys the last 10 years?
Yeah.
And why are you, it's like a bandwagon situation, right? You see it in sports.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I feel like he's going to the Super Bowl now, and everybody wants to be a fan.
That's true. And it's funny too to see. I think it might have been this too, like, because I remember talking to a lot of the country artists on the red carpet, and everybody was excited to see Post Malone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it also is, there's a level, at least within the industry, where it wasn't attainable before.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's here, it is attainable.
Everybody wants a piece of him.
Yeah.
I think that's what I struggle with, because I feel like he's been so great to his hardcore fans. And now it's like other people just want to collaborate with him for the sake of his status now.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't really sit well with me.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, it's Post Malone. Like, I feel like I'm just such a, and I know I'm being irrational. I'm just such a hardcore fan.
You're just
fan
like, listen, I've been here a long time.
Like, I know I've been here so long that I feel that people are collaborating with him just for the sake of, like, it's Post Malone. He's in country now. Everybody's going to want to do a song with him, and I don't know that I want to hear everybody's collab with him.
Mm-hmm. And I do feel like there are certain ones who have been around him for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, you do have your Morgan Wallen Hardy situation. Luke Combs has been his friend for a long time.
I feel that's a natural fit. Like,
yeah.
All those songs I'm good with hearing. Like, if he does just stuff with on, like, the Hicks tape and more of that, I'm totally good with. That feels like a natural fit.
It's more if you see, like, a random one, you're like, what's happening?
Yeah. That's why I'm hoping that if he does do a country album, which he probably will, that it's not a bunch of collabs. Like, it's just him and a guitar, more like a Zach Bryan style. Because I think that will showcase more to people that, like, he is just a genuinely good artist and a good songwriter. And I feel the reason he is able to do all these different genres is because his songs just show emotion. And I think that's what I've connected to. It doesn't matter what sound is coming out, whether it's rock, hip hop, or just straight up pop. Like, it's the emotion that I get attached to. So I think that would really show if he just did a straight on country album, just him and a guitar.
You know, there is one collab, though, that I really want to have happen. I don't even know if they're friends, but it's Jelly Roll and Post.
That would sound really good together. And they're kind of along the same lines of, like, Jelly Roll, hip hop, country.
Yes.
Now, that would be amazing.
That is one that I'm like, okay, can you guys make that one happen? The rest of them, that's cool. But, like, that one, I just feel like also, too, they're such both great humans that they both deserve that collaboration.
And their voices together would sound really, because they kind of had that similar rasp and just grittiness.
And they could really bring out all the genres they've done. Like, you could make it like hip hop, country, pop, like, it could be all of it in one. And I think that's just something cool to experience with that I hope happens. That's the only one that I want. Mostly because I'm just a huge Jelly Roll fan. Post Malone's really cool, but I'm not jumping on the bandwagon. I just like, he's cool.
And maybe I'm just jealous of everybody getting to meet and hang out with him. I see all these pictures of him in the studio with people, like him and Brad Paisley. I'm like, maybe I just want to hang out with him.
You know, I was prepared if he happened to come. He did go on the carpet to take a picture, but he didn't, of course, do any interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I was prepared if he did came to be like, listen, I'm going to need you to come into our studio. That was like my number one question.
Yeah.
He never came, but I was going to try for you. Like, you know, I was going to try and make it happen.
In the back of my head, I thought that the show would surprise me of, like, bringing him in randomly. I was like, maybe there's, like, a secret guest booked, and I'm going to be prepared for it all week. But he just doesn't really do interviews.
Yeah, well, and he doesn't need to, you know? Like, he really has paved a way for himself that he doesn't need any type of promotion. He's created this entire genre and fans by himself. So what's the point, you know, kind of thing? But I do see a potential interview situation happening if he does do a country record.
Maybe, because he is going to push that Pickup Man to country radio. So if that starts climbing up there, there's a potential down the line.
Yeah. And we have, I mean, we have had Hardy and we've had Morgan on. So like,
it could be a situation where we bring them all in together.
Would you freak out? Like, what would be your like, would you like dress to the nines? Like, how would you feel?
See, I've been thinking about this because I thought, like I said earlier this week, maybe it'd be like a surprise. He comes in randomly. I don't know how I would deal with it. Like, I feel like I would have my, like, questions prepared of what I'd want to ask him. But aside from that, I just don't know.
Do you think you would be nervous or would you be so excited that it wouldn't matter?
I think I'd be so excited it wouldn't matter.
Okay.
Like, it would be one of those things afterwards that I would be like, man, that was really cool. And in the moment, it would probably just fly by.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would just be my normal self as much as I can. But then, who knows?
Yeah, you always think you do like cool, calm, collected when it before it's happening. Then it happens, you're like, I blacked out. I have no idea what happened. But I'm gonna keep putting this energy out for you. I mean, I really was trying. I was like, hey, if we can get him over here, I will ask the question, and I will at least try and put it on his radar that maybe we, you know, put some feelers out there. But yeah, he never came. He did not need to.
And I think I'd have the benefit of I've literally listened to every interview he's ever done. So we could find questions that nobody has ever asked them that I think would be a lot different.
Okay, maybe that needs to be part of the pitch, Mike. Maybe that's how we get him.
I think so. Yeah. Like,
have you told Scuba that? Have you been like, listen, I have seen every interview. I know these are questions that he has probably not talked about. Maybe that will make him be more inclined to say yes.
Because I've never seen him do an interview with somebody who I felt was like a legit fan, knew everything about him. So I think it would be a different form of interview of like getting to ask him things that nobody has asked him.
I like it. I think we need to make that part of the pitch.
I think so.
Because he does like things that are different. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to do the status quo. We've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And this would not be the status quo. So I'm just saying, just include it in the pitch.
I'll write it up now. He does follow me still on Twitter.
See, you could be like, listen, my guy, I know you're coming through Nashville sometimes. I want to ask you things that nobody's asked you before. Like, please, can we make this happen?
Yeah, like part of me was like hoping to see him around town.
Hey,
this week.
Shoot or shoot, Mike.
I know.
It's time for you to shoot your shot with Posty.
All right, I got
to
go find him.
Okay, this is now your job. You got to shoot your shot there. Okay, we're going to come right back. We got a few more things to talk about. But is there anything else you'd like to get off your chest about Posty before we go?
That is it. That's okay. All I want to say.
Okay, I'm just making sure you have the space to totally geek out if you wanted to.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Today, more than ever, we're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. And who has the time? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and reviews your medical claims as they come in from your healthcare providers. Then, HealthLock's technology flags and alerts you to any errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud to help you and your family save. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save more than $130 million. Saving on medical bills starts with knowing where to look. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden medical bill errors. To save, visit healthlock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
Coming in at this number three spot, Bobby fell asleep while y'all were doing a podcast recording. Crazy. I genuinely hope he's okay. I think something might have happened.
I think he is okay. I think that entire week, it was pretty nonstop, where if you look at his schedule, there was something every single hour leading up to that trip when we went to Utah. I just think he was so tired and exhausted that he just shut down.
That's fair. I'm more so concerned that it could have been a concussion situation, but they have proven that, like, it's okay if you sleep, if you get a concussion. So, like, it's not the worst thing to happen, but that would be more of my concern.
Was the later theory we had, because right as we left and we're wrapping up in Utah, they decided to run that drill. And I think at one point he got, like, stuck and maybe hit his head. So that's what Eddie started thinking about. But it was also like, that probably wasn't the best idea to do after we just had an exhausting day of going through something that is physically torture.
Physically torture. Well, speaking of, like you say, like, life's crazy. What, and I didn't really know how to put it in the questions, so that's why I kind of included it here. But, like, you run around and do a lot of shows with Bobby, and you're doing a lot of things, and you're running around all the time. So, like, how are you? How's life? Like, are you alive?
I am exhausted because I feel like we've added a lot of side projects in the last few months that, on top of our already busy schedule, we've made somehow sculpted out time to travel and do Too Much Access, which is a show where we go and visit college campuses and tour their entire football program and then do stupid things like run drills that people get hurt. So that's been interesting to factor into everything of, like, there's going to be a day where I'm fully traveling and having to keep up with the work for the show and the work for all the other podcasts that I still oversee. It's been a lot. So I feel like I've reached a point where I didn't know I could take on more. So I feel like I've been more intentional about taking time to have a break. I've also started therapy recently, ever for the first time, to kind of manage with all my anxiety issues, which I feel is, like, kind of shown itself to be more of a thing recently, juggling so many things that it's like I'm trying to keep everything in line, but then also, like, I haven't been taking care of myself mentally, that I realize that's something I need to prioritize. So I think going through therapy has helped me balance everything, of knowing that it's okay to break down every now and then, mm-hmm. and, like, take time to focus on yourself when you are doing so many things. So I think to anybody who has ever thought about doing therapy and has been scared about it, which I was, I thought, like, taking time to talk about myself would be hard for me, which it is. It's like a hard struggle, but I also felt like it's almost like when I was first starting out exercising and getting healthy, that you have to also put in the work for your mental health to feel better, which was something that was kind of, like, eye-opening to me. Like, oh, it's something you actually have to work at, do like exercise your brain, go to therapy, talk about your feelings, and that helps you in the long run of just feeling better and kind of being able to manage everything.
Yeah, totally. I mean, first of all, proud of you. Like, that is a huge step for yourself. And you're probably, like, you're talking about it like it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal to do something that you're very uncomfortable with, and especially to make yourself better. That's really cool. So, proud of you. That's awesome. Do you feel like it's helping you adjust to the craziness of your life right now?
It really is. Like, the first session I had was really eye-opening, and I felt so good afterwards. Second session was a little bit tougher because apparently your first session is kind of like the first day of school.
Yeah.
And then the second one, we got into some things that, I don't know, they kind of made me question things about myself. And then I realized, oh, this isn't going to be super easy all the time, which anything that is worth having is not going to be easy to get. So it was kind of that realization of, this is something I'm going to have to work towards and prioritize. It took me a little bit of accepting, but now I feel like I kind of know what the goal of therapy is. It's not so much like fix yourself forever. Like, you're going to go to therapy and you're going to be completely good. It's kind of like learning the tools so you're able to deal with all the issues you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, wow, that's something I didn't really know before. Like, it's not to go and fix you like you would to a doctor of like, give me the medicine, I need to be better. It's just give you the tools to help you navigate life.
Yeah, and you know, and there will be moments that you will come away from it where you feel very exhausted, mm-hmm. like more exhausted than walking in. But it's like a good exhaustion. It's an exhaustion where you're like, okay, it's all off my chest. Now I can actually start to move through whatever it is. Because before, you were exhausted from it. It was weighing you down. Now it's like an exhaustion of like, okay, I'm working through it and I'm going to be able to come out the other side. Now there's an actual step that I can take versus no steps.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that. That is also really hard. After like going to therapy the first few times, like you'll experience some exhaustion that you were like, why am I so tired? Why do I feel this way? But that's part of it. And that's part of that like journey of going through it. So dang, Mike, this is big.
Yeah, I think it was just making time for it, because what I would do before is kind of like push it to the side, because being so busy where you have something every single day, you have the schedule or just like nonstop, you kind of like push it to the end of like, oh, I'll deal with that later. But you can only push your mental health away for so long until it like piles up on you. So I think it's helped me with the added craziness of our job of having more to do, which a lot of it is fun and exciting, but it's also can weigh on you.
Yeah. Is there anything where you're like, at any point in time so far, have you been like, okay, I really need this off my plate? Like, this is a lot. And it's, you don't have to specify what, but like, I think it's very human to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe helping some other people who are also feeling that way. Have you experienced that?
Yeah. Like I literally had a conversation with Bobby yesterday of like letting him know where I was mentally, which maybe it's the therapy helping me like, hey, like this is like, there's something I need to like talk to somebody else about. So literally yesterday I had a conversation with him of like all the things we've been juggling and how much it's been really weighing on both of us, because our schedules are pretty similar as far as if he's out doing something, I'm usually there with him. And all the projects that he's involved in, I'm involved in. So I think both of us have had so much put on our plates that we're kind of in the same place mentally. So it's kind of good knowing that there's somebody that gets it completely and that I can talk to and be like, I just need some help with this and kind of have some guidance, because I know you're going through this too. So I think we helped each other yesterday of getting us both to a point of like, we can work through this. Here are the steps we got to take. And keep going.
Well, because you also have to have a life outside of this professional life.
Which is hard for both or all of us, really.
Mm-hmm. But it's important, and it matters more than anything. Your personal life, not just your mental health, but like you actually having a life that exists outside of this building and the other buildings that you guys go in. And that's important too. And it's hard to juggle that on top of it. Like, and also take care of yourself at the same time. And also make sure you're taking all this, like drinking water. Like sometimes drinking water becomes hard because you're like, I don't have time. There'll be some mornings that I leave work and I'm like, I haven't taken a single drink of water in 5 hours. And I'm like, why? Why did I do that to myself? But like, is it also part of you that's you're like, okay, I'm getting too overwhelmed that I have to make sure I still can have time for this personal part of my life?
Yeah, because it's hard for me to have, like you said, just a life where I don't know what sometimes life is outside of work things, which my wife helps me with that. Like, hey, you have to do things that are not work. Take time to like not look at email and not look at anything, not be doing a podcast. So I feel like having her has helped me maintain that life. Also just like still have family in my life. So it's kind of a weird thing of going from like, our identity has become our job because we have all these shows that we do, listeners we connect with, that it is a part of us, but it's also our job. It's work. So it's hard separating here's the work stuff and here's the life stuff because they're so connected. We talk about our life. Mm-hmm. We do things that are based on what we do every day and post things and all these things that are so like just combined together that it's hard to separate those of like, what am I doing for me and not doing as content or as something else?
Yeah, no, that's super important. And you're not wrong. It's very interconnected, but it is also, it is consciously making a decision to separate the two. And that is difficult. I think that's why, like, we're, you know, we're about to talk about, like, the Air Force Academy band coming in and how like kind of happy it made everyone, and something that I've done recently that's like made me very happy. But I had to physically put this on my calendar to say, I am doing this, to be like, this is my time. At no point in my life have I ever done that. Have I ever like scheduled on my calendar something literally just for me? Not an appointment, not like something that I have to do for work. It was literally like, Morgan, you are doing this for you right now. And that was a wild experience for me.
I've never done anything thinking about it. Like, looking at my calendar is just, there's nothing fun. It's all just things I have to do.
And maybe that's something you can do. Maybe that'll help with the personal side of it, because it's like I separate. It allowed me to separate. Like, okay, put everything else away. This is on your calendar to do this for you. And it helped. It helped a lot just in that aspect, especially when everything was really crazy for several weeks there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now that we get into holidays, things do calm down a little bit more. But like, maybe that's something that helps. Maybe that's something you can do. It's not for everyone. That's just like, I pay attention to my calendar so much that I'm like, you know what? I'm looking at it for everything else. Why not just add a few hours for me to go do something for me? Maybe something.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Maybe it'll help you give that little personal aspect. I know you have your running and you do go run for a while, but that's also like your physical health that you're working on.
Yeah. It's kind of a combined thing.
Yeah. Whereas like, you need something that's just like, you're just straight up just doing to live some life. Because you can't do all these other things and be happy with life, you know, because you're surviving. You're doing things to survive.
Yeah.
Working on your mental, physical health and working are all survival things. Like, there has to be something here that feels good to you. This can all feel good. All the other things can feel good. But like, something just has to be good and feel good for you to just have a life that you're excited about.
It's completely separate.
Yes, completely separate in all aspects. And it could literally be sitting in a room, in a silent room. I don't care. But maybe that will help you in that, like, go into that direction as you keep adding more and more to your plate.
I will say, like, going to, like, collecting comic books and reading comics and going to comic book stores has kind of been that for me of, like, it's a completely separate thing. I go there and I'm kind of in, like, a happy zone. Nothing really concerns me outside of that world of just, like, focusing on that.
So maybe now it's, like, every other Saturday or every Saturday for 2 hours, you're like, I'm going to the comic book store.
Oh, I have been doing that. As long as I'm in town, I go to a comic book store every Saturday.
See, so it's already there. Yeah. You know, you just haven't had to add it to your calendar yet. But if your life gets a little chaotic again, add it on there and be like, no, I'm busy those 2 hours. Your happiness in life is just as important as everything else. Don't forget that.
Writing it down.
You're not, but I am just proud of you in all the other ways. I want you to keep going in that direction because I think it's awesome. Cool. And that's all. That is all I have to say. We did have the Air Force Academy band in, and it was a really cool moment. Like, it was a cool part of the show that happened this week. Yeah, like just something different and hearing how they all came together and how intense the program is to be able to be in that band. But it reminded me of like joyful things, and that's why I was bringing it up. What is something you've done recently where you're like, this made me really happy? Because I put up all my Christmas decorations. That was what was on my calendar. Is I was like, I want all this up. It'll make me feel very happy and very like homey and happy to be home. And so I did it. I took like 4 hours on a Saturday and I put up all my Christmas
decorations. Every single decoration?
Every single decoration. Both my trees are up. All my decorations all scattered out throughout the house. The outdoor decorations, it's all up. And now I can enjoy it for the next 5 months. Because I will probably leave it up till February, if not more.
Because we did that too. My wife is also huge into Christmas. Right after Halloween ends, November 1st, she's like, you got to help me put the tree up. We haven't gone full on every single piece of decoration. Like, we haven't decorated the tree. But the one in the living room is up, the bedroom is up, and like a handful, like I think our stockings are already up.
Yeah.
But aside from that, we haven't gone full on decor yet.
See, but I love it. Like, does it not make you feel, something about Christmas decorations just makes me feel a type of way.
Yeah. I think my wife has helped me learn that. And she tells me just having the Christmas tree on just feels cozy to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten in a little bit, like at night, it's nice. When you just go in, like, okay, the tree's lit up. It feels cozy. But I don't think we're at the weather yet that I'm at, like, I put the two together. Like, it needs to be really cold outside and the tree to be on for me to feel that coziness.
That's fair. And you also kind of strike me as the Halloween guy.
Yeah, I love Halloween.
Yeah, and so there, I have noticed that if you are a Halloween person, there is a little smidge of bitterness when Christmas happens because it happens so quickly after.
Yeah, Halloween just comes and goes. I think out of all the holidays, New Year's Day is my favorite, though.
That's okay. I don't think I've ever met anyone that that's their favorite holiday.
That is my favorite because it has the least expectations, but you get all the relaxing time. Like, Thanksgiving is so focused on the meal and having everything ready. And by the time you get to the meal, you're exhausted if you've helped. Christmas, there's so much expectation on having a great Christmas. It just feels like such a special day that everything has to go right. So I feel like New Year's Day is, we get the day off from work. Nobody is doing anything. The streets are empty. Everybody, well, a lot of people party the night before. There's nothing happening on New Year's Day. I just love that feeling of it's a fresh new year. And you can go into it completely like how you want to do it. Do you want to party the night before and spend the entire New Year's Day hungover? Do it. Do you want to stay up late, watch the ball drop, and just enjoy it at home? Do that too. I love doing that. I just feel like New Year's Day is so calm and peaceful that I love it. And no expectations of, like, you don't have to go see family. You don't have to do anything you don't want to. Things are closed, so you can't really go anywhere. You just chill.
That's a really good perspective. I've never thought about New Year's Day that way.
It's the best.
I mean, you're not wrong. Like, I've just never thought of it in that light. And maybe it's because I was hungover for many years that I've just never been able to think about it.
Which I used to be. I used to party. That was my favorite day, New Year's Eve, was to party and then wake up late the next day and go get some greasy pizza to help you. I don't do that anymore, but now I just love the calmness of New Year's Eve.
Dang. Okay. You may have changed my perspective, at least for the holiday this year, because for me, New Year's Eve is like the most overrated holiday. Mm-hmm. But you may have just shifted my perspective a little bit.
I feel like the partying aspect is overrated.
It is.
But, like, yeah.
You get all dressed up to do the same thing every year. I'm like, guys. And every time you get disappointed because it's never exactly what you want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you always expect it to be this massive party. And if it's not, then you're like, well, that was a lot of effort for me to, like, put myself together to come out and do this when I could have just stayed home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but this year for you, because it's your favorite, I will try and change that. I'm going to see it from your perspective.
Yeah, I love it.
I like that. Okay. Well, hey, we are early Christmas decorators, though.
Yeah.
You and I are team early Christmas decorations, which there is a lot of us this year specifically, too.
I feel like it's become more normal lately. Like, I think after the pandemic, people were more accepting of doing things that just make you happy and not caring about what people say about it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like more people decorate early now because it's like, enjoy those things.
Well, also, what am I going to decorate for Thanksgiving? You want me to put a bunch of leaves and turkeys up?
Well, yeah, nobody does that.
There's not even decorations for that out there for you to buy. Like, so I'm used to the Christmas decorations being there for Thanksgiving too. They count as both for me. But like some people get so mad. I'm like, guys, I ain't about to put a bunch of dead turkeys up. Like,
yeah, there's nothing to decorate for.
So that's also why. Okay, coming in number one spot. This feels very weird for me this week, Mike, because it is me.
Yeah.
And I really avoid putting myself in the spot. and we're not going to talk about it because I also feel awkward. Just know that I am in a great place with everything. I did it for the plot of my life.
Great plot.
Good or bad.
Great plot point.
Right. You know, sometimes, how do you feel about it? Did you feel like it was super awkward or you're like, this is awesome?
Going into you doing it, I thought it was going to take place differently. I didn't know it was going to be so straight on. So I'll admit, when I first heard it, I was like, this is hard to listen to because I didn't know it was going to be just straight on here. I thought it'd be like after the fact. I didn't even know it'd be recorded. So I think the fact that you went so bold, it was tough. But I'm proud of you for doing it. Like, I would not have the courage to do that. So,
you know,
I think it was showed you that you had such great commitment to it, to do it that way.
I do. You know what? If there's anything that people question about me, I am fiercely committed to things. And I find the confidence when it's needed. And I think the best part of all of this, regardless of whatever outcome happens, is that so many people, one, have been supportive of it and are rooting for it. But all the people who are also like, you know, if you can do something like this, I can just take this one step in this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I wanted was for people to be like, okay, shoot your shot. Even if it's going to a coffee shop you don't normally go to, whatever it may be. Like, I just wanted people to realize that it's okay to do things that are uncomfortable. I don't like doing things that, heck, being around Lunchbox sometimes I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's so awkward. I can't handle it. Like, but so for me, it was like, I need to get a little bit more uncomfortable because I'm so comfortable right now. Like, something has to give for me to keep growing. And this was that lesson for me in more ways than just like giving my number to a country artist. It was just like, you have to be a little bit more bold and put yourself out there in better situations. And I think that's been the coolest part for me. Not even just the whole scenario of it being a great content bit and the plot for my life, but like that it's inspired people to go and just be like, okay, I'm going to do this. Like, I've been waiting, I'm going to do it. That was cool. That was like the cool reaction.
I think that is a great lesson though, that you were saying, is to get different results, you have to do something bold that you haven't done, and it's good to feel uncomfortable. I think I had that same experience when I first started dating, of I was doing all the same things and realizing like, why am I not finding anybody? Well, you've just been doing the same things and reverting to your same traits that haven't worked out for you. It was going out of my comfort zone, being more vulnerable, putting myself out there, not being afraid of rejection that led me to where I am now. So I think for anybody, that's great advice. Just to see it happen the way you did it.
Yeah, and rejection sucks. There's no two ways around it. Like, in any form of the matter, rejection sucks. But it's also a part of life, and it's definitely a part of dating. And if I'm going to be so fearful of rejection, I'm definitely not going to find anybody. You know what I mean? Like, because we're also afraid of each other. We're all afraid of being rejected, that if we don't give it a try, we're just never going to talk to each other. You know, that's really what it's come down to in dating that I've seen in the last several years, is like, we're all genuinely afraid to get hurt and we're all afraid to be rejected. So we're just not going to do it. I know I've been in that place. I want to go through, I've been messed up so many times. Like, I don't want to keep putting myself in that situation. So I'm like, I'm going to be my little hermit crab at home and not putting myself out there because I'm scared of being hurt.
And it's easy.
And it's easy. Like, I'm comfortable in that. And so like this, like, even if there's rejection coming from it, I'm like, you know what? It's really good for me to feel that again. It's really important for me to feel that again, good or bad, even if it sucks, because I need to feel that again to be like, you can do this. Because see, like in a week, is it going to matter? The good or bad outcome? No. Somebody's gonna do something else. It's going to be another crazy week. And it's going to be just a moot point. You know what I mean?
I felt like that's really helped me, like having that realization of, is this going to matter in a week, in 2 weeks, in a month? Nobody's even going to remember this. And it's helped me move on from things that in the past have like tripped me up and led me into this anxiety spiral. I find myself just telling myself, is this really going to matter in a week? If I mess up, if I do something stupid, who's going to care? It doesn't matter. Just move on.
Nope. And they will. And everything moves on with time.
Unless you do something illegal.
Yeah, then
that'll stick with
you.
That'll stay on your record.
That will stay on your record. But so that's where I'm at with all of it. So I feel good regardless of everything. And I have decided that at this point forward, I'm doing everything for the plot. Good and bad. But not going to jail. I will not do anything illegal. Although, Jelly Roll, I was doing an interview with him on the red carpet. And I was like, listen, if you want to do something illegal, I'll probably do it with you. Because that'd be fun. That'd make a great story. So if I do that, I just probably would Jelly Roll.
There you go.
If you see anything. Which I think if Post Malone did something with you, I think you'd also do it.
I probably would.
I mean, it's a great story. You do it for the plot, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got questions to answer in listener Q&A, so we're going to go hop over there. But real quick, before we do that, just to make sure, if they only listen to part one, tell them where they can hear you, find you, all that good stuff.
You can check me out, listen to my podcast, new episodes every single Monday, Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. If you love movies, spoiler-free movie reviews, interviews with actors and directors, which now that the strike is over, I can interview actors again. They're back.
I know. Okay, so wait, question. Next interview you're trying to land?
I really want to talk to Cholo Maridueña, who was Blue Beetle. Which,
got it.
It's crazy because that movie came out and he couldn't do any press for it. And it was such an impactful movie for Mexican culture. And it's a role that he was so proud of. But he couldn't say anything about it, couldn't do any interviews. And right after the strike was over, he was like, okay, now I'm going. He started posting all this behind the scenes content, did his first post saying how much that movie meant to him. And I want to talk to him so bad, because it's crazy to be in like the biggest role of your life and not be able to promote and talk about it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that would be great. And you did interview the director.
Yeah, I talked to the director. But now to be able to get his perspective on some of the things we talked about would be really cool.
Well, and since you have that in, that might help.
I think so.
Okay, well, we're rooting for you to get that interview. And we're going to go head over to part three. So come join us.
Let's go. The Bobby Bones Show. Bobby Bones.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.